When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
You're listening to Castrol CarCast on Podcast One. Hurry into the Dodge Big Finish event for great deals all month long on some of America's greatest muscle cars. That's the new holiday greeting in Santa's workshop, and it's not the only big change this year. Santa's got a shredded six-pack, and the vending machine is filled with protein bars and muscle nog. He's even upgrading his ride to a snow-burning muscle sleigh, like the Dodge Charger, America's only four-door muscle car with all-wheel drive. But it has to be functional like the Durango, the most technologically advanced, fuel-efficient, and powerful V8 in its class. And loaded with horsepower, like the Challenger's most affordable V8 in its class, Santa wants his sleigh to really fly. So it's goodbye, Jolly Fat Man. Hello, Jolly Fast Man.
Ho, ho, go!
Sorry, reindeer. Hurry in for great deals at the Dodge Big Finish event. Based on 2019 Ward's Midsize Sport Utility Vehicle Segment. Available V8 based on Ward's Middle Specialty Segment. Dodge is a registered trademark of FCA US LLC.
Hey guys, welcome to Castrol CarCast. I'm Matt, the moderator. DeAndre, we got Bill Goldberg on the phone. And of course, Castrol is brought to you guys by Dodge. Hurry in to find great deals at the Dodge Big Finish sales event. And Continental Belts. Get the full story at oetechnologyseries.com. Man, wrapping up, end of the year, loving your social media videos, all kinds of Dodge stuff. I didn't realize you guys did so many little spin-off versions of it. They're fantastic. And just, by the way, small world in that Kurt Russell did a Netflix movie where he's a Santa Claus and he drives a Challenger in the movie.
No way.
Like a Hellcat Challenger in the movie, because he's like a Santa Claus and like loses his sleigh, and the whole time he's like, I don't know why they keep depicting me as a fat guy. And he goes, Santa's not fat. And his whole shtick is like how he makes fun of the sort of the cartoon Santa being fat. And he drives a Hellcat. So that was
foreshadowing.
It was actually pretty good. I watched it with my family over the Thanksgiving break. But now I started seeing promoted everywhere. So something about the slim buff Santa is in these days.
I'm bringing it back, dude. You know, it started with Santa's sleigh in 2005, and slowly but surely, he's coming back.
Yeah.
He's giving shape.
Man.
He's a V8 guy, too, so, you know, you got to love that.
Yeah.
Except I got to do a little caveat here. Santa Claus is still writing his list out because I don't have my red eye yet.
Yeah, what's going on? I mean, you know, it's been a week since we checked in, but it was supposed to be this month, right?
Yes, I got some. Santa Claus, unfortunately, got some bad news. But, you know, here's the deal. Life's too short to you know, worry about the small things. So I'm going to get the thing eventually. And I'm not going to bitch and moan about it not being here today or tomorrow or in a week. So it's all good, man. It's all good. I'm turning over a new leaf. The calm Goldberg.
Yeah, it's okay.
Yeah, that hit you like a ton of bricks, didn't it? You're going, what the hell's going on in Goldberg's head right now?
It's calming down with age, I think, just getting up there. You got a birthday coming up, buddy. You're going to get a red eye for your birthday?
I don't even want to talk about that, man, you know. Yeah, birthday, another year older. Hey, let's talk about you and Alistair talking me into that Range Rover. And fortunately, the show's not hidden for a couple hours, so my wife's not going to hear this until hopefully the damn car gets here, but it should be here today, man. Early Christmas present for my wife.
Oh, nice. Which Range Rover did you end up getting?
That 2012, the Blackout Edition, HSE or HRE.
HSE, yeah, the big one. So you got the full
HSE,
size.
HSE, the big one, supercharged 3.0, I think.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, you know, I mean, hey, we went back and forth with the number of options, number of years, and, you know, you know me, at the end of the day, I'm going to let the other person take the initial hit on the car, so I don't like buying things brand new unless they're special edition releases, and let somebody else take the hit on the car. It's got 7,000 miles, and we're gonna drive the hell out of it, have some fun.
You know, that's actually a good point. I've been, I don't know why, but I've been like, you know, I'm selling the Alfa Romeo. I sold it. It hasn't been picked up yet. And I'm, you know, I'll be driving the Mustangs and all kinds of sporty cars. And I got the M3, which are all fun. It's a little tough to drive. You know, it's got a heavy clutch. We sit in traffic. And I was like, what could be kind of a fun, kind of nice, everyday car? And I was like, well, I kind of like a coupe. And I was like, well, I like the bigger coupes. It doesn't have to be a stick. I'd prefer it. But, you know, if it was not as heavy as the clutches in the M3. And I was like, you know what? A car that I liked was the Mercedes CL, which is the big coupe. Before, now we have an S-Class coupe. But before that, we had a CL coupe. And like the 2011 through 2014. Now, I haven't done the research as to the quality or maintenance issues with this car. So if anybody had a CL or knows about the CLs, let me know. But a CL, they had a CL 500, they had a CL 63, which is the AMG V8, and the CL 65, which is the 12. I'm not interested in the 12, but I am interested in a CL 63. And talk about buying.
Who wouldn't be?
Yeah, but talk about buying a car used. These cars, depending on the option, were like $175,000 up to $200,000 with carbon fiber and all this stuff. Like, it's almost a $200,000 coupe. You can find them used with 50,000 miles on them for less than $50,000 for $49,000.
Talk about what I questioned you about the McLaren or that Lambo.
That's right. We were texting earlier.
A buddy of mine's in the market for one, and he sure as hell ain't going to go out and have to pay, you know, a sticker for it because somebody else did. They took the hit, and, you know, he's buying it at half price.
Yeah.
And it's a two, three-year-old car.
I think that's a good idea. It's I'm curious to find out which. So, you're right. A friend of mine bought. He bought it, drove it for a while, and then had to sell it. But he had the McLaren, the MP4 12C, the first-gen McLaren, which I drove, and it's fantastic. He got it for a song and had some fun with it. You know, sold it and bought something else later, bought like a Ferrari 308 or something. But yeah, I mean, where you can go in the used car market is impressive. You're right. So maybe something like the McLaren for your buddy. Has he decided, you know, 570 or 650 or which version?
He really hasn't decided yet. To me, it's completely dependent upon the amount of track time and how serious he really wants to get with it, because you can plug and play, you know, upgrades to that car just like any other car.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to be a little bit more expensive.
Yeah.
But, it depends upon what you're doing with it. And fortunately or unfortunately, we, myself and my friends, and you are getting up there, you know, we're reaching an age where driving vehicles is different, taking into consideration where they're going. And it's time to have some fun with them. So the options are huge. The used car market out there has a plethora of options, whether it be the CL63 or whether it be the McLaren, whatever it may be. It's such a great time for guys like us.
Yeah, so I'm interested in that. If anybody's got input on the CL, please let me know. I'm curious to know if anybody's owned them. What do they think? Maintenance issues? Maybe you can get one. Maybe I can buy like an extended warranty if that makes sense. I'm not really sure, but anyway, it just came across.
I sold an S600 one time because it needed a master seal, and it was going to be $2,500 to get to it.
Yeah, that makes sense too. Yeah, I haven't done the research on it, but I was just looking at the car, and I was like, I was looking around. I found one was like $47,000, and you know the sticker on it was like $180,000 with whatever options were in it. It looked good. It was kind of like a matte white with like a Designo black interior. Like it was fantastic. It looked great. And I don't mind that generation of you know the interior and stuff. It doesn't really matter to me if it's got all the fancy backup cameras and all that stuff. I know what I'm getting. I know what that generation of vehicle is and what the rules were back then as far as.
And it's a safe bet. You know, you're not going to overheat. Hopefully, knock on wood. You're not going to do the things that these other vehicles unfortunately do to us from time to time.
It's still got a good style to it, too. I mean, you clean it up. You can even put a set of wheels on it. You roll up anywhere in that thing, and they're going to think it's a pretty new car. So I was thinking about that. To your point on the McLaren, now, I can't exactly say for which models it was, but McLaren does a thing where they have sort of an air ride suspension, and they're able to control each corner individually without the use of sway bars, and it gave the car more control because a sway bar, you know, attaches to both basically, let's say your front suspension, it attaches to the front control arms and to the chassis, and when you get into a turn, one side pushes down on the other, and effectively one side needs to contribute to the other side because the sway bar, I'm simplifying it, of course, but the sway bar is controlled to both sides. And McLaren said, we don't want to do that. We want to control each side individually. So I think the first gen, the MP4, had no sway bars. And I think the 650 has that no sway bar technology. However, to save a little bit of money, I believe the 570 does have a more conventional sway bar. So when your buddy is shopping around and you mentioned he wants to track the car, there could be plus or minuses to either one of those. If he wants
to... That's the problem.
Right. If he wants to, let's say, modify the sway bars, or if the aftermarket has sway bars for the 570 that are more track-oriented, then maybe that's a way he wants to go. If not... And you want to let just McLaren handle the performance from the factory, then maybe the 650 is the way to go. So it's just one of the things to look at. It might not be on the 650,
but I think it is. You also have to take into consideration his wallet. You know, I mean,
is
he a guy that wants to go out and just spend whatever he's got to spend to have fun as many times as he deems necessary? Or is he a guy that can go out and have fun dependent upon what it's going to cost him to run?
Right. And then is he going to modify the car? Because he may say, hey, I'm going to save a few bucks by getting the 570, but I want to do this and this and this to it. And that's $30,000 because it's McLaren. Like, what are you going to do? Yeah. ECU tune in an exhaust system is probably $30,000. Right. So like, where are you on price? But, you know, but that's kind of the fun. I think that's part of the fun, right, is sort of shopping around and doing the comparison and maybe trying one or two of them and see what you like and see what's comfortable, see what you fit in and things like that. So that actually brings up driving cars. So we spoke about the Genesis, the G70. They have a G70, an 80, and a 90. It's sort of like a 3 Series, 5 Series, and 7 Series. And the G70 is getting all the rave right now. It's the newest version. So it's not exactly scheduled. I don't know the dates, but I got a G70 coming in to test to see how we like that. And I saw the email this morning. You're going to be checking out the Raptor because you know I drove it. I drove it over medians here on Santa Monica Boulevard and stuff. And you spoke to our buddy Jason at Ford, and he's going to hook you up with a Raptor in January, right?
I wonder if he's seen my property.
I don't think he has, and it's funny because I sent him an email and I said, hey, man, you've been hearing the show. You like it. Thank you so much. We really want to start getting Bill into some of these press cars, and I said, this is where he lives, and he wrote back and he goes, yeah, let's be pretty selective on what cars we send there. He goes, because that's a haul, and I said, fair enough.
I'm not talking about – it's a haul. I live in God's country. You guys are the ones that live in the middle of hell.
Right, so, but yeah, his car collection.
But here's my question is, does he know the topography? Does he know geographically where I live? Because I have trails all around my house. I'm not going to be hitting curbs. I'm going to be jumping them in that thing.
Oh, so you don't even have to, like you said, yeah, you don't even have to leave the property. On your own property, you can just, you have basically like a short course trophy truck track on the property. And I'm not too concerned about you driving the thing. It's just, I don't know, like if Wanda's going to drive it, then I've got concerns.
Oh, she's going to drive the hell out of it.
She's going to love it. And here's the problem is you're going to end up buying one of these things.
Well, it's going to have to be a pretty, pretty capable beast to dethrone her F-250 turbo diesel, which obviously is in the same family.
Right. Now, keep in mind, what happened the last time I brought a truck down there, right? It was the 250 turbo diesel, and you had to buy one.
Yeah. Yeah, it's all good. She loves that truck, so I don't know. Maybe I shouldn't let her drive it.
Good luck. Good luck.
Remember, I remember the Range Rover is supposed to show up today, so hopefully she won't even see the truck.
Yeah. So what made you decide on the Range Rover over the G-Wagon that you were talking about? Is it because the G-Wagon's ugly?
Well, fortunately, she came to her senses.
And she's like, the G-Wagon's dumb.
You know what? I'm just going to say it. And, you know, you guys might think I'm a pushover, but you keep your wife happy and you have a very happy life. So if she wanted the G-Wagon, I was going to get her a G-Wagon.
Sure.
I'm thankful that she came to her senses. I just think the car is not worth that much money by any stretch of imagination to be an extension of your penis. What did I say that out loud? I'm sorry.
Where's our blue
shoe? I really
at?
Believe that. I mean, it's a great looking truck. If you've got the money to toss out, then yeah, that's perfect. But you're not throwing, you know, four kids and a dog in the back seat of the damn thing. So
yeah. Yeah, that's a good point.
Well, you can, but I wouldn't allow it. I wouldn't allow it. And that's what the vehicle's going to be used for. So it has to be practical. You know, in the end, whether I have 80 cars or 6 cars, there has to be a reason to have it here and a logical reason. So I couldn't find one for the G-Wagon.
Yeah, okay. We were talking about the Raptor as well, and I've been reading more about the Ranger Raptor. And I'm not going to bury the lead here. From what I understand, it's not going to be available in the U.S. I don't know what that means. Like, I don't mean, like initially, is it not going to be in the U.S. or at all it's not going to be in the U.S.? It seems like we've got enough people out here to say, yeah, we should, there's probably a market for it. They haven't really, like, officially released the Ranger, so I guess they kind of have to see how that will do before they announce a Ranger Raptor out here, but they're in other parts of the country and they're starting to be tested, like in Australia. And I know it's a smaller truck and it needs to fit that niche. Don't compare it to a full size Raptor. Just compare it to, you know, the Ranger and its capability. And it's the same thing with the Fox shocks and capable suspension. And it's meant to be sort of a high speed kind of pre-runner almost. In the sense that, from what I understand, that suspension is kind of dialed in to, like, you know, hit moderate bumps and stuff off road at, you know, 100 miles an hour. So I'm hearing some pretty
Danger.
Cool things.
Danger.
Yeah, I'm hearing some pretty cool things about it. That being said, I saw the Ranger at the LA Auto Show. It looks good. I think there is a market for that. You know, compact pickup truck, small pickup truck kind of thing. And, you know, the Toyota Tacoma has been, seemed to be doing well for so long. I'm not sure where the Tacoma is right now. I heard that the previous gen is actually a little better than the current one, but it looks good. And, boy, talk about used car market. You get a CL63 for, you know, one-fourth the price of sticker when it was new, but not those little Tacomas, man. They seem to be holding their value, and maybe it's just I don't know if it's just a good reputation or it's because there's not a lot of options out there, but the Ranger hopefully is going to be a pretty nice little option. But it looked good at the LA Auto Show. They had a couple versions there and a couple like modified versions. You know, I don't know if it's directly from the Ford Performance catalog, but sort of SEMA versions that they had, and it was pretty cool to see. I'm interested in definitely trying it out. Our guy at Ford said they won't be available until the press fleet until at least January or February, and I know everybody's going to be wanting them, every magazine and book out there. So we'll get on a list for it at some point and just try it out. But this is what we do know. The fuel economy specs have come out on this, and the Ranger basically is one engine that we know of right now. It's a turbocharged 2.3-liter four-cylinder, but don't let the four-cylinder dissuade you from this thing. It's 270 horsepower. It's 310 pound-feet of torque. It's mated to the 10-speed automatic transmission, similar to what we've seen in the Mustang and the Raptor. And from what we hear, it is Ford is telling us that the two-wheel drive versions will do 21 miles per gallon city, 26 highway, 23 combined. So 21, 26, 23. Four-wheel drive is 20 city, 24 highway, 22 combined. I don't know. Seems decent. I don't know. Anything over 20 to me seems pretty good. I guess it depends on can you keep your foot out of it, but it seems pretty comparable to the competition with their V6 engines. So the turbocharged 4 seems to be doing it well, but I don't know. I mean, I'm not sure if you've seen the Rangers or if it's even something you can get in physically.
Hey, yeah, I just gloss right over that market.
Yeah, but it. I can see it though. There's a market for it. Like if you're in LA and you know, you want something that you can drive around the city and parallel park and getting to parking garages and not to worry too much about it, but also you need to move some stuff around, and maybe it's not your job to move stuff around, but maybe you head out to the desert, you do a little camping, you haul stuff around here to car parts around like I do. It seems like an interesting option. But
gave me a kind of you listed off a number of reasons to look at that Gladiator.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, the Jeep, which I went back to the auto show after we talked about it last week. I went back over there and looked at it again. And when I was there for the press days, they had some celebrity vehicles and stuff in the booth. And they kind of moved the booth around and shifted things around a little bit. And I got a little bit closer look and sort of some of the modified like Mopar versions of the Gladiator. And, you know, with the tubular doors and, you know, not the regular doors on there and the glass folds down. It's still very much a Jeep, which could be cool, right? Like if you want the Gladiator, you are a Jeep fan. And this is kind of an interesting version. The bed isn't very deep, so it's not. I guess I couldn't compare it apples to apples with the Ranger. I don't know how deep the bed is on the Ranger, but on the Gladiator, it seemed like it wasn't quite as deep. So you're still going to be kind of limited on what you're going to be able to put in it. Like, you know, if you're stacking it up or if you wanted to turn it into a hot tub for some reason.
Did you see the interior?
Yeah, and the interior is very much Jeep to me. You know, the hardtop version, again, I'm not a huge Jeep person, so I don't know what to really expect with the Jeep, but I saw they had several there without the top on them. So they're big four-door pickup truck convertibles, if you will. And then I saw the one with the hardtop on it, like the plastic hardtop, which is removable. And, you know, there wasn't any like headliner or anything. It's just kind of plastic. So my thought was maybe this is the way Jeeps are. Again, I'm not into Jeeps that much. Like I haven't really spent much time in them or have driven the new ones. But I was thinking, you know, it's probably got some noise, probably some
road
noise.
Come on, man. I picture you driving down the 5 in a camoed up 8-inch lifted Jeep with giant nittos on it.
Well, look, if I was Stone Cold Steve Austin, if I was that little redneck, I'd be doing it. By the way, he posted, I love Steve. He's a follower of both of our social media, and he comments like on the images that I put up, because he is a car guy and he's a good dude. But he's always just like out in the forest somewhere with like camouflage shorts and a camouflage shirt and a camouflage hat. But his shorts, and then he just has like white tennis shoes on, and so I picture him like, if I was like, all I see in this picture is a pair of calves and shoes, making fun of all of his camouflage. But he's
again am following him in his footsteps. I'll be at the SHOT Show in January in Vegas with my new camo line, for God's sake.
With the camo line, he'll probably be there hawking one of his knives, one of his broken skull knives or something. You guys have a good time. He was just texting me this morning saying, "What's up? How are you guys?"
My question is, you know, in looking at the interior, was there access to the bed from inside?
Well, that's a good question. I don't know what access there is with the top on it, because the top had sort of the rear sliding window, like on an F-150. But obviously, the top comes off, so it turns into a big convertible. So in theory, yeah, it's a pickup truck with a roll cage and removable doors. Like, you can just take everything off, the top, the doors, everything.
I'm just wondering if, like, in the back seat, you know, lower floor area, when the top's on, do you have access to the pickup?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think if the top is off and you're sitting in the back seat, you could definitely just turn around.
Well, that's logic. You can turn around and reach in there.
You know, since
it's such a small bed, there are a lot of people that would use it to camp and stuff like that. So my that's my question.
Yeah.
You know, they could turn it into something they could put their feet in, I guess.
Listen, I'm sure, you know, because we know the Jeep is like one of the most modified vehicles on the planet, someone is going to make a hard top that covers both the cockpit and the bed, and they're going to make an SUV out of it. Right? Because it's a removable plastic hard top. So why not just make one that's 5 feet longer?
Like a Blazer, like one of the old fully removable top ones.
Yeah, because it's got like a 5 foot bed on it. So why not just make the big plastic hard top that's 5 feet longer?
Yeah.
Right. And I'm sure that would actually be a pretty cool option. And so I don't know who does that, Lund or somebody.
It's probably already on it.
You know,
I don't think it's not.
And by the way, we love the guys at SEMA, and they have the SEMA garage over there, and they always pick a couple cars a year, and they have they'll bring in like a prototype car, like something like this Jeep, which isn't available yet. They'll call Jeep and say, "Can you send us one and make it available to any of the aftermarket manufacturers for a measuring session?" They'll put it in the SEMA garage.
Yep.
They'll scan it with the Faro arm. They'll allow the engineers to go in there and measure stuff and get, you know, start making CAD specs and stuff, so the aftermarket can develop products for it. So it wouldn't surprise me if we got the email at some point saying, you know, coming up soon next month, you know, we got the Jeep, Gladiator in the SEMA garage available for a measuring session. You know, which would be a good idea.
I wouldn't let it be available until the said manufacturer does their own advance.
Well, it's funny because that was one of the things they were pushing was at the LA Auto Show, is the Mopar catalog is already full of a bunch of parts. So when they had the Gladiator there, they had several versions with lots of different modifications and LED lights and the removable doors with the roll bar versions or whatever they're called for them. So Mopar's all over that, which is genius business plan for them, right? Just certainly makes sense. All right, before we move on, I'm going to tell you guys about a Continental Belt. If you think of all the weird things that you find in cars, I'm not talking about garden variety petrified French fries or melted crayons. I'm talking about live snakes, bizarre trinkets, and the kind of stuff that just makes you wonder about folks. Well, another thing that'll make you wonder, but in a good way, are Continental Belts. I bet you didn't know they're OE in tens of millions of Chrysler, Dodge, Ford, and GM vehicles that roll off the assembly line. They're also OE in a majority of BMWs and VWs. Now, Continental is launching the aftermarket multi-V belt with the OE pedigree. It's their OE Technology series of belts. These belts are fanatically engineered for perfect fit, form, and function. And Continental has an OE Technology Series Multi-V belt for 98% of the vehicles on the road in the U.S. and Canada. So listen, you got enough surprises working on your cars and trucks already, so a belt shouldn't be one of them. Go with the Continental OE Technology Series Multi-V belt, the belt with the OE pedigree. To get the full story, visit OETechnologyseries.com. Okay, so there's a bunch of stuff happening in the news, I sent you some of this stuff, but one of the things I didn't get a chance to send to you ahead of time, Bill, was I am interested in this new Aston Martin supercar called the Valkyrie. I'm not sure what their love affair is with V words, Vantage, Farage, you know, and so on and so forth. But this is a new supercar from Aston Martin. It's basically Aston Martin has a lot of racing pedigree, to use that word again. It's funny, I was having this conversation with somebody the other day where it's like Lamborghini doesn't really, and I think it kind of hurts Lamborghini's value of vintage cars. But Aston Martin has some racing pedigree. So Aston Martin is saying, if we're going to do another supercar, like the 177 or something, why don't we just start pulling more from our racing teams and see what we can do? So they're basically taking like an LMP1 car and putting a license plate on it and turn signals. And they're saying, let's start with that technology. Let's see if we can make a cool race car out of it. And that's essentially what they're building with the Valkyrie, which is going to be pretty interesting. They're working with Michelin on some crazy tires, and it's going to have, I don't know, 265 35s in the front, 325 30 21s in the rear. It's going to be kind of this crazy looking car, very racing oriented, very futuristic. But the part that I'm impressed with is they're teaming up with Cosworth to build the engine. And
11,000 RPM.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ. I want one.
Yeah. So the idea is, so it will have a hybrid drivetrain like we've seen in the McLaren P1 and the LaFerrari, and you know, the use of 918 Porsche, the use of hybrid technology for performance is a great idea. I'm a fan of that. Even in the Acura NSX, I love the idea. The original idea was like, hey, let's do a turbocharged V6. And Aston Martin said, no, we're all about the 12-cylinder. We've got to do a 12-cylinder. That's what people love about our supercars and our DB11s and stuff. I just drove the Vantage. I just drove the Vantage V8, but which was fantastic. It's the Mercedes-AMG Source twin turbo V8. But they want to do a 12. So they hit up Cosworth and they said, develop a V12. They're going to do a naturally aspirated V12 that's going to produce 1,000 horsepower on the engine alone. And they're doing it is...
Wow.
It is... It's going to be a...
Oh, my God.
1,000 horsepower at 10,500 RPM, and it'll probably have a rev limit of about 11,200 RPM and fuel cutoff at 11,004. So now we're in F1 territory. It spins so fast, like an F1 engine, that you can't do chains or belts on the cams. You've got to do it gear. The original instruction was it needed a way... 441 pounds total, fully dressed. They got close. It's 454 pounds, but that's fully dressed. And the only reason why is because they actually needed to move the cam gears, because it's a gear drive system, to the back of the engine. Because imagine a rear engine car, and the front accessories would be like right at the back of your head. And they said it was too loud. So they had to move it to the back, and that added a few pounds. But they're really nitpicking. So in the article that I read, they're saying that it has a carbon fiber airbox on it, like almost like a upper intake manifold. And it has an optional lacquer finish to make it shiny. But if you don't want the lacquer finish, it saves 2.8 ounces.
Oh, well, there you go.
There you go. This thing is going to be impressive.
I think they need to come up with a new word for this thing. As I'm looking at it on YouTube,
yeah,
you know, visually it reminds me of the Ford GT because it looks like it's an aero car because it's a formula inspired. But
yeah.
Jesus Christ, what's the price point on this thing?
I don't know. It's going to be like a limited. I don't know how many they're going to make, 100 or something like that. And I'm sure it's going to be in the millions, in the 1.5
Man.
To 4 range or something. I couldn't say for sure.
I bet it's more.
Yeah, it's going to be impressive. But so their big thing was, hey, we're developing this engine. It's 1,000 horsepower, but it's going to have the reliability. It's going to meet the reliability standards of all the street cars. It's going to do, I don't know, 100,000 miles or something like that. So
I wonder what the weight difference is. Just goofy question between this and the Helifan.
Oh, it's going to be a huge. It's a huge difference.
I know. I'm just curious to see how much.
Yeah. At least 100 pounds.
Yeah.
Yeah, probably 100 pounds. So this is what we know. It's going to be 6.5 liters. It's going to be a 65-degree angle between the cylinder banks. It's going to have titanium connecting rods and pistons have been milled from a solid material, which is going to be pretty interesting. And, you know, the gearbox's suspension is all really just inspired from Formula One racing, and it's attached to I'm guessing it's probably aluminum front and rear subframes attached to a carbon fiber monocoque.
I mean, why reinvent the wheel? Just bring their technology to the street and, you know, charge millions, make a limited edition, and there you go. It's not the first time it's happened. It's very exciting, though.
Yeah, it's pretty interesting. Anyway, we gotta give up this studio in a couple minutes. Let's check in with Alistair real quick while we're getting Alistair on the line. I'll tell you guys about the Nissan GTR 50 by Ital Design. We saw this car at Monterey at the Rolex Historics. It's this limited version of the Nissan GTR. It's going to cost $1 million. It was supposed to be $1 million, but it's going to be 1.1 million. And I wasn't sure if it was going to have some extra power or anything like that, but turns out it is. It's going to have an extra 110 horsepower and 94 pound-feet of torque. It's kind of crazy looking. I don't know if it's just the weird colors that they're using for it, but this GTR 50, I'd be curious to see without the wacky colors, like what can we do to make it a little more conventional, but it should be interesting. They're only making a handful of these things. They're making 50 of them for the world. They're going to be $1.1 million. We saw it at Monterey. It is pretty cool. We saw the like black and gold or the brown and gold one. It's a pretty big jump in price. You know, if they said, hey, the car's $120,000 and the new one's going to be, you know, $150,000 or $200,000 or $300,000, I could see it, but we'll find out. All right, so I think we've got Alistair on the line.
Yeah, so you want to press 4 and then 5.
All right, hold on, guys. Hello?
Hello, good morning. How are you?
Good. How are you, buddy?
I'm good.
Hello, sir.
All right.
Sorry,
that's Goldberg saying hello. He's on the other line. We're actually just wrapping up. We've got guys lining up for the studio here. So, we wanted to check in with you and get an update on how'd your RAV4 cross country 48 contiguous states go? Did the weather pan out?
We just dodged the storm the whole way, which was great for us, probably less good for the story. We needed a bit of jeopardy, and I was kind of hoping we'd be held up for a few hours. But the reality is we crossed the line yesterday. I've got some stats here. A total of 6 days, 6 hours, 41 minutes of pretty much continuous driving, stopping only for a pee and a bit of food. 7,100 miles, 14 drivers, average of 27.8 miles a gallon, no breakdowns, but yeah, great adventure. 15 people giving it their all. I did the first 30 hours from Maine down to South Carolina, an hour and a half sleep in the back of the car, but yeah, great fun. And you know, we wanted to set out to do the ultimate review, and that's what we did.
And at some point down the line, you had to switch from the regular tires to the snow tires or the all-season tires or something like that. Like, I mean, you were trying to show the various things that needed to happen or should happen for safety and things like that, right?
Yeah, that's right. We actually hooked it with Tyrak and one of their mobile engineers. So as we were starting to cross the Dakotas, and I mean, if you think about, especially this time of year, a good 40, well, no more than that, probably 60% of the journey was in icy, snowy conditions. So we actually strapped on some winter tires about halfway through as we headed up towards the Dakotas. And that made a big difference. There was a couple of nights where we were literally driving all the way through the night on snow and ice. And it was amazing what a difference that made going from standard road tires into the winter stuff.
Do you have any complaints about the vehicles or anything that you think should be changed or unacceptable, or what's your overall feeling?
I mean, firstly, the reliability was faultless, which was great. And this was a early pre-production press loaner, basically. So that was impressive. The engine is probably the RAV4's weak point. 2.5 liter, 4 non-turbo. Fuel economy is okay, but it just doesn't sound good. It's quite unrefined. There's quite a lot of vibration when you really lean on it. And with three people and some luggage, you end up working it quite hard. There's decent space inside. The interior is a huge step forward from the old model, but to be honest, that's not really saying much. I mean, overall, we like it. It was a great test of having all sorts of different people through the car and different opinions on, you know, a lot of people found the passenger seat quite uncomfortable because you sit quite high and there's not a lot of adjustment. But overall, it made it. And yeah, it was a great team adventure.
So you guys did over 7,000 miles with 15 drivers. And now what? Dan Edmund drives it back?
Dan Edmonds was the only guy. So everybody did a leg, which was basically 30 hours.
Yeah.
So I did the first one, and I'll be honest, I kind of got out, and I had 1 hour sleep. I was a little bit angry. I was living off Monster Energy drinks, and I was a bit over it. Dan did two legs back to back, 60 hours, and Dan is like me, a 6'4" guy. Yeah. I mean, he loves it, but even so, I spoke to him on Sunday when he was about 50 hours into his journey, and it did sound a bit broken.
Really? Because he was tweeting out, he's like, I can't wait to do this again. We need to do it all the time.
I'm sure. I mean, it's one of those things that's great in hindsight, and we'll all think it was the greatest adventure of all time, but it was pretty tough going when you read it.
You should have told him, bring this back to Maine, Dan. Turn around and go back. We'll see you in 6 days. You got to beat the record with 15 people. You got to do it by yourself. all right, guys, we're running out of time here. I'm going to tell you guys about Dodge. This winter, tell Jack Frost to eat snow. Muscle up in a Dodge all-wheel drive vehicle and hit the road in a ride so powerful it makes ice shiver. Hurry into your local Dodge dealer now for great deals on the Dodge Big Finish sales event. All right, guys. Alistair Weaver.
Go.
Ho, ho, go. There you go. Check out those commercials. You're seeing them playing everywhere. You're going to follow it on social media as well. Goldberg's social media is Goldberg and Goldberg Garage on Twitter and Goldberg95 and Goldberg's Garage on Instagram. Check those out. You'll see those Dodge clips. They're great. They're fun. You can follow me at Motorator. And of course, Edmunds.com. If you go to Edmunds.com, I'm going to take a guess here. Edmunds.com/roadnoise. Does that sound right?
That's the one.
That's the one. Check that out. You guys can see the RAV4 out there, and you can follow Alistair. You can follow him, Weaver Alistair on Instagram and Alistair Weaver on Twitter. And of course, Car Cash Show. All the shows are up there. Tell a friend. If you like it, tell a friend. Give us a nice review. We love that. All right, guys. Thank you so much. And we'll chat. I think we're doing one more next week before we hit the holiday break.
Let's do it.
All right. Okay. Thanks, guys, so much. And until next time, keep the air in the spare and the bag in the wheel.
Rum, rum. For the latest updates and call-in times, follow the show on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at CarCast Show. If you'd like to write in, fill out the form on CarCastShow.com. And don't forget to give us a nice rating on iTunes. CarCast is a Corolla Digital production and is produced by Chris Loxamana. For more information, visit CarCastShow.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.